Are you sick of the same old disability stereotypes? We were too, so we did something about it. Welcome to That Was Unexpected, the disability lifestyle podcast for everyone. Brought to you by Youngcare and hosted by me, Lisa Cox. Join our amazing guests as we delve into topics that don't often hit the headlines. So let's do this. Prepare for the unexpected. If you're low vision like me or have other accessibility requirements, check out our show notes. Before we get started, we'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of land on which we record. We pay respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging.
Hi, and welcome to episode 4 of That Was Unexpected. In today's episode, Lisa and our guests delve deep into representation in the performing arts. Lisa was joined in the studio by actress and model Maya Dove, best known for her role in Tay-Tay and the Land of Yas, and Victoria Wilson, division lead for Zebedee Talent, the world's leading inclusive talent agency. Enjoy.
Maya and Vic, it's so great to have you here today. So I could talk about representation all day, but I'm really excited that both of you are here to talk about it with me. So could you start by introducing yourselves and tell me about what you do?
Hi, my name's Maya Dove. I'm an actress, model and caseworker based in Melbourne, and I'm a proud dog mum to a greyhound called Maggie June.
Excellent. Yes, dog mum here as well.
So. Yeah, all three of us are.
And Vic?
And yeah, I'm Vic. I'm from Zebedee Talent. I'm the team lead booker here in Australia, looking after all our wonderful Australian talent, but I also look after our talent overseas in the US as well and North America. So, that's me.
Excellent. So, May, you and I first got into contact prior to you being in Tay-Tay, the Land of Yas. Gosh, that's a mouthful. I'm just going to have to call it Tay-Tay.
You can call it Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay. Okay, great. So for the listeners who haven't heard about it or anything like that, could you tell us a bit about Tay-Tay?
Yeah, so Tay-Tay is a theatre show written by and produced by Shake and Stir Theatre Company that's based here in Brisbane. It is about a young disabled woman who is back in hospital waiting another spinal surgery, and she's feeling a bit unsure of what her future holds and what life has in store for her because she's experienced quite a significant amount of trauma. And her sister comes to stay the night with her. Sister's a few years younger than her to kind of cheer her up, and her sister quickly sees that she's not okay, and she makes this kind of just wish to the heavens or something like that about hoping that Tay can find out how good things can be. And then a magical fairy godmother who's played by Maxie Shield from RuPaul's Drag Race, comes and takes them to the Land of Yas, where they go through her past, her present, and they see their future. And by the end of it, Tay feels happy and excited for what her future has in store.
I love that because I saw it, absolutely adored it, and it rewrites that entire narrative that once you acquire a disability, your life's over, it's going to be rubbish, and it really put a new spin on that, and we don't see enough of that in pop culture, in performances generally. So no. I was cheering the whole way.
Oh, I'm so glad. I just really loved the fact that the audience got to see that Tay was just a young woman, and all of the issues that she had were heightened by the fact that she had a disability. But throughout the show, you just see Tay for who she is and the family that love her, which I think is just amazing.
Yeah, no, exactly. So you mentioned that you're an actor, and how did you get into that?
Well, I had just split up with my high school boyfriend, and I was in first year uni. I was living out of home for the first time, and because when you're a young disabled person, it's really hard to find employment while you're studying. I was looking for ways to work, and I really liked performing as a kid, and I thought maybe this is something that I could do. So I just reached around to a few agencies based in Melbourne, and then a year later, after being signed with just a local agency, I reached out to Zebedee Talent, and they weren't in Australia yet. But then when they were, Vic reached out to me and said, would you like to come on board? And then, the rest is history.
So exciting. So you and I both had different experiences of childhood because I didn't grow up with a disability, and as a little blonde kid, I saw myself everywhere, and it was easy. But as a child with a disability, what was it like growing up and not seeing yourself represented?
Oh, it was really hard. There was no pathways for disabled kids to get into the arts. I was a dramatic kid, and I was a performer. A lot of the times it was just me singing about how much I loved my dog. But there was just no outlets. My parents looked, but there was nothing really inclusive, certainly nothing like Zebedee Talent that do book disabled kids. So it was just really nothing for me to build upon. It wasn't until I became an adult. The first time I think I saw someone like me on television was when I was in London, and it was just a wheelchair racer on an ad for UK television, and I thought that was just amazing because it was the first time it had been authentically shown. And that's 5 years ago. So
a lot's changed in 5 years, but I certainly can't speak to your experiences, but 18 years ago when I acquired mine, there was nothing. You could be a Paralympian or you could be a patient in a hospital bed, and that was kind of it. And not to say it's perfect now, but it's certainly come a long way.
Well, even just the kids, because I have a spinal cord injury, a lot of the stories were just about adults that had been in a traumatic accident. Yeah. And I wasn't in a traumatic accident. I've had my spinal cord injury since birth, but that kind of narrative was never shared. It was never shared what it was like to be a young kid in Australia growing up disabled. So I think that it's really great that now those stories are finally being shared.
Yeah, and if it was shared, it was always traumatic and sad, and I'm not trying to minimise it, but there would have been bad days, but
the impact that it has on the family.
Oh, for sure.
Which is, families are amazing when I always think that disability impacts them just as much as a disabled person, but a lot of the time it's the burden back in those days.
Yeah. But we're not.
We're not.
So, Vic, so excited that Zebedee is here. I remember when I heard about them being over in the UK, I, like many other people, was like, when are you coming to Australia? We need some talent here, because I, as you know, work with advertisers. I'm like, okay, great. We want to represent people with disabilities, but where's the talent pool? Where do we go for that? Yeah. So at least now when I'm speaking to business or agencies, I can say, and go to Zebedee.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about how you got started and how Zebedee got started.
Yeah, sure. So Zebedee was set up in 2017 by sister-in-law Zoe and Laura, who obviously wanted to increase the representation of disabled talent. They set up in the UK. And then I guess where I came in was 2019. Funny story. I'm actually Laura's sister. And I was really impressed, with what they were doing in the UK. I was, delighted for all the changes they were making. So I really wanted to come on board. So in 2019, I came on board to develop the US division. And me being here based in Australia a couple years later or a year later, it just made sense that we launched over here. I had people like Maya sitting in my inbox for like a year in a little folder of people, to reach out to in Australia for when we did launch here. And it just made sense. There was that lack of representation here in Australia, and it was needed, and we wanted to help create that pathway for our talent. So yeah, here we are, and we're thriving now in Australia. We're doing really, really well, and super proud of all of our talent and how far we've come.
Yeah, you should be. It's really, really wonderful. And 20% of the population with a disability, but in advertising anyway, 1%. Yeah. And that's not just bad for all of us with disabilities, like from a social perspective, but I speak to businesses about it's really shitty business. Yeah, like you're losing money, and that's, absolutely, I suppose, another way to look at it. Not the only reason you should do inclusive advertising and those sorts of things. But as Maya said, not seeing yourself on screen, not seeing yourself represented, it kind of sucks to put one word around it. But what sort of brands are you working with at the moment, Vic?
We're working with a bit of everything, to be honest. We put our talent forward for absolutely anything and everything. We want to give them as much opportunity as possible, and we, do recommend that they take on board all opportunities that come their way. You never know what doors it might open and who you're going to impact, I suppose. But, we're working with fashion brands, beauty, tech brands, like you name it, a bit of everything. We do it. We're working with on film sets, TVs, commercials, some TV series as well, some really exciting things coming out this year and cool. things that have come out, obviously theatre as well, delving into. The social side of things. We help our talent build their social influencing platforms and, reach out to brands that way as well. So, yeah, bit of everything.
Okay. And what sort of disabilities do all of your talent have?
Any kind of disability, so visible or non-visible disabilities. Mm-hmm. We have talent with visible differences as well. We also work with trans and non-binary community as well. So basically all those kind of communities that were generally underrepresented or yep. left out of the media. We want everyone to kind of come on board and, get everyone out there and seen and,
Awesome. And have you had... Maybe not pushback, but what sort of responses are you getting from brands with that? Because I want to talk to them. There's that hesitation about including disability for so many reasons that are just rubbish. But from your perspective, what sort of hesitation are you seeing around from brands and businesses who don't really necessarily want to or find excuses not to do it? But
yeah, I guess it's just that fear factor, fear of getting it wrong or fear of using the wrong languages or that fear of tokenism as well. But I can just say just do it, basically. Like, yeah, just go for it. Like, we're here, Zebedee are here. We've got a great talent pool. Reach out to us, reach out and ask for our packages. We're also here for guidance as well. We've got awesome people on board like yourself, Lisa, who can offer advice and training. Just make sure it can, it is being done and it can be done and it can be done really successfully. Every shoot that I've worked on or booked our talent on has been super successful. We've had great feedback from our talent and also our clients as well. And, everyone's just been, super successful and proud. So, it definitely can be done. I'd recommend, get out there, do it. Reach out to us or the right people.
Definitely can be done. I think the fear of getting it wrong is something I hear a lot of. And that's understandable because often with advertising or any sort of production, there's a lot of money involved. So that's you can't just say, have a crack and, we might lose millions. So it's not quite that simple. But fear of getting it wrong is no excuse for doing nothing or at least asking people in the community how can we best go about this. So it might not be perfect, but it's – damn close to it. So I don't know if I can swear there, but it's close to it. So May, tell us a bit more about your first gig.
My first gig was for Instagram, the
awesome.
Company.
Yeah.
They were filming some short videos and stills in Melbourne. I think my face was on like the Zodiac filter at one point. I only found it out through a friend, but I remember being on the job and texting my mum after I was like all ready to start shooting. I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. This is incredible. And my mum was like, glad you're having a good day. But then she didn't understand. I was like, do you know the photographer? He shot Kendall Jenner last week. Oh, my God. And I was just, obsessed. And after that, I've just been passionate about doing more.
That's so cool. And I hope you do more because we definitely want to see greater representation out there. And the fact that you love it so much, the listeners can probably hear it, but the energy coming from you about absolutely loving what you do. So, Vic, I think I asked you this before, but what are some of the, I suppose, I'll call them excuses, call them what they are, for not wanting to use disabled talent? You mentioned the fear factor, but are there any other more specific reasons?
Let me think. Like you mentioned before, like that fear of expense as well, maybe. The fear of using the wrong language, fear of, being, getting it wrong, being called out as tokenistic, which you don't need to be. If you want to be inclusive, just be inclusive and continue to be inclusive. As I mentioned as well, like it does make sense for people to book disabled talent, and when they are inclusive, it has been proven by research that it's beneficial to their company and their own money making, I suppose, it's the right and ethical thing to do as well. It's definitely going to impact the talent and the wider community. It just can be done and do it. Like, I feel like there isn't excuses. And if they think they do have excuses, then, as I said before, there is people to reach out to, get some advice, get some training, and also look into your own business structure as well. Like, internally, recruit internally people with disabilities as well, and have a look at that internal structure,
yeah.
As well as obviously in front of the camera. Just wholly, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100% representation is about so much more than just putting one wheelchair in front of the camera.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And thinking, great, job done. We're done for the year. But it's, yeah, like you said, recruitment and behind the camera and so many other things.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we've got obviously amazing talent. We've got super talent on our books, but we also represent some people like self who assist with, those training needs for businesses. So we're always available to reach out to for some help with that and how to go about their campaigns and how to do them properly. And we've got some awesome people behind the camera as well who want to get involved. So, yeah.
Excellent. And what advice would you give anyone who's wanting to enter the industry? I'll ask this question to both of you because you've got such such different takes on it. But people who want to enter the industry with a disability, who are like, hey, I want to do what Maya's doing, how can they go about that?
Yeah, I guess do a bit of research into the industry. Reach out to people who are maybe in it already and see how they feel about it and how they're going around it all and stuff. Go organize a couple of shoots. Just make sure you feel confident and comfortable in front of the camera as well, and that it's for you. What else? Just be responsive, and want to invest in yourself and obviously take it further. And we're always open to applications as well. We're still growing in Australia, and we want to grow the business. We need more talent. So definitely reach out to us, ask us questions, pop in an application. Yeah.
Awesome. And May, what advice would you have for people with a disability wanting to get into any sort of acting or the sort of work you do?
I think just do it, but make sure that you have a really strong sense of confidence in your skill, because there will be jobs and you will be on jobs with people that probably haven't worked with a disabled person before. So I think just be confident in the fact that you can do it and that you're skilled, so that you're allowing yourself to be showing up and being seen.
Yeah. And we need more of that. More people with disabilities being seen. Okay, Maya, I'd love to talk about the script for a moment because, as I said, I was in the audience cheering the entire time.
Yeah.
And for people who weren't there, the scripting of the show is kind of special how that was done, but it included so many just really, really specific details and nuances that found me laughing out loud, and a few other people in the audience laughing out loud, those of us with disabilities, and everyone around us was like, what is she laughing at? It's because we got the joke and we got why that was funny, or even though the rest of the audience were like, oh, my God, that's so not funny, you can't laugh, and we were just in hysterics.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a bit more about the scripting?
Yeah, so the script was written by Nellie Lee. She works for Shake and Stir, and it was based on her sister and her family. So I think the reason that it was so nuanced is because it was about her life, and Nellie's grown up only knowing her sister as having a disability.
Yeah.
So those experiences, you can't think that out of your head. That's only from someone that's experienced it firsthand. But they also were really mindful of the fact that it was a inclusive show, and they wanted to make it really have a lot of strong sense of disability awareness. So they had Maddie Little, who's from Brisbane, and she was the disability consultant on the script progression. And then they also brought me up from Melbourne to meet the cast and everything like that, and also give my input on the script. So it was very authentic and real, and so the audience could see the vulnerability of the show.
Yeah, and it was definitely authentic. And I see some things where they've tried to include disability, and all credit to them for giving it a crack. But you're like, oh, cringe.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite scene?
I probably for all the wrong reasons. I just loved the one when they're in the lounge room and the mother is running around going, oh, we'll make it all perfect for you and clean up and everything. And I was just like, oh, I wish so many people I know could see this. And it's not, I could just relate to it, I suppose. But I.
Helen Cassidy, who played my mum, is a phenomenal actress. She was incredible. She really took me under her wing because it was my first time doing a professional show.
Yeah.
And they really made me feel comfortable, which is fantastic.
The fairy godmother was hilarious.
Yeah, Maxie. Yeah, Maxie has been doing it for 20 years and she really looked out for me too. They all did. They all really looked out for me, which I think was fantastic because I'm from Melbourne, so I lived here for 2.5 months to work on it and do the show. So I think the reason that I personally did such a good job at the in the role was because they just really made a comfortable environment.
Yeah, wouldn't have known it was your first show because
that's what you're amazing. Well, it felt like it at the start.
I did a really good job. And what would you like to see in the future in terms of representation on stage or on screen? I suppose it's a question for both of you. Where would you like to see the industry or industries going with regard to representation?
I think just more authentic stories like Tay Tay being shown out there. But I also think I would love for disabled actors to be just cast in roles that aren't necessarily disability centred.
Yep.
Because disabled people, they're not, the disability is a big part of who you are and it definitely is a big part of who I am. But I'm not just Maya, the person's disabled. I am a caseworker, I'm a model, I'm a dog mum, I'm a sister, I'm a granddaughter. So there's no reason why disabled people can't play those kind of roles.
Wow, really, really well said. There's so much more to us than our NDIS packages or wheelchairs and those sorts of things. And I think Tay Tay reflected that really, really well. And Vic, what would you like to see in terms of representation into the future?
Yeah, I think I'd just like to kind of echo what Maya said. And, just the casting needs to be kind of incidental. You don't need to make a role for a disabled person or consider them for any particular role that you've got on. We, like at Zebedee, we submit our talent for absolutely any roles and we put them out there. And again, not specific to disabled roles. So I think, just that incidental casting or,
picking up that, that's really key. I think the incidental inclusion.
Just consider the talent, for who they are, and they can play any role, basically. Yeah. You don't, And then, if you need to ask questions and we're quite responsive. We work with our clients and talent together to ensure that everything on set is, accessible if that's needed or any accessible needs, basically. We have access riders that we have our talent complete and we forward them to our clients prior to any shoot taking place. So everybody's aware of any needs and requirements on set. And that everything runs smoothly and it does, it's not always that specific disability role that is cast. We like to see our talent being cast in all roles across the board. So,
May, you're only one actress, I suppose, and by that I mean there are a zillion people out there who have a disability and also actors or actresses, but for anyone considering hiring disabled talent, what are your I suppose requirements on set?
I mean, I'm pretty chill. I'm pretty versatile. I've backpacked through Europe, so I can make anything work. But I usually just make sure that there's a disabled bathroom and that it's step free. That's the main things.
Yeah, backpack through Europe. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, when I was 20, I went for 7 weeks through Europe by myself.
Nice,
which was incredible.
Yeah. So what parts?
I went to Switzerland, Germany, Paris and the UK.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So I think after doing that, there's not really, not much. Tay Tay was quite a very physical show and they were worried that worried that if I was okay. And because after doing that, there's really not much that's hard after doing that. That was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. So doing the physicality of Tay Tay was just it was just a breeze.
I bet, it is a very physical show, but you nailed it.
Oh, thank you. I think I calculated that I did there was a 5 transfers per show, and I did 25 shows. I think it was like 105 transfers I did through the whole season, and that's not including rehearsals. So I was very fit by the time I got back to Melbourne.
Yeah, you have guns of steel.
Yeah, but I didn't have any physio, so my hips definitely felt it. But
yeah,
it was incredible.
So was anything in the script? I know it was written by Tay, based on Tay's life. But did any of it, apart from a main character with a disability, any other specifics that you could really resonate with or that reflected your own personal experiences?
Yeah, I think just the whole entire show. It was really funny. When I went up with the callback, they told me about the story because at first I thought I was just going in for a little side role. I didn't think it was the lead, and I didn't really. I don't know why I didn't.
I feel like they didn't really like put that out to start with. Yeah, they're like really, keeping it hush.
They
kept it a bit hush.
Okay. So I kind of went up there thinking, oh, I'm just going to do this role, and it was kind of at a point where I wasn't really sure. I wasn't really confident in my future in the arts at that point. So I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to do it and just see what happens. And I went up there, and they told me about the story, and I actually had the exact same surgery that Tay's waiting for.
Oh.
And so I had a spinal fusion when I was 10.
Yep.
And my rods broke. I had three of them in 4 years, and Tay's waiting for a second one.
Mm-hmm.
So just when I heard that, I was like, okay, this is a bit special because, I mean, my spinal fusion was a big, big part of my life. It was probably one of the biggest things medically I've been through. So I think just even that, I was just like, okay, well, I've got to give this everything because, that experience as a kid, I can't. It's kind of nice being now 24 and knowing that wasn't for nothing. But even just not even that, that's only like a small part of it. But I think just the issues that were raised and the stories were told and to highlight disability awareness, I think just even the fact that my mom and my siblings could resonate and I resonated just really shows that how across the board these experiences are, because when you're a disabled kid it can feel very lonely and it just feels like, well, I'm the only person that has to go that's going through this. So it's kind of comforting for me to tell that story and know that, oh, okay, so all that stuff that I kind of dealt with as a kid wasn't the only one. It's a across-the-board experience, which is very heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking when I was performing and I would see a 10-year-old who had cerebral palsy in the front row, and I'm telling this show and I'm like, that was probably the hardest bit that I've ever done. Yeah. But then when you have, girls that are in high school and they're wheelchair users and they come up to me after the show and say, thank you so much, I've never seen someone like me on stage.
Yep.
That's just, I don't care if I didn't, I do want another job, but please book me. But I remember in rehearsal someone saw the poster and I was looking down on the street and I just got a glimpse of it when I was talking to Maxie, and it was this girl being pushed by her carer, and she looked at the poster and said, oh, look. And I didn't even meant to see that, and I just remember texting my mum being like, telling her the story, and I said, if that moment is all that I get from this show, then you know what, that's my job's done.
That's awesome. Mm. And I've got goosebumps. Listeners can't see it, but
yeah,
no, that's really, really special. I know when I acquired my disabilities, I wish that someone like you had been able to talk to me and say, you know what, I've just backpacked around Europe, or you probably, I don't know if you had yet, but had done all these things, because I only had this stereotype in my head that life was over and it was going to be rubbish. But to have met someone like you, or to see or someone like you on a poster represented, would have meant so much.
Yeah, it's quite funny when I try to tell people these things, because I'm quite personal about things like that. Everyone gets so surprised of all this stuff that's happened. But I mean, it's the reason why I'm coming up to Brisbane for 24 hours. I just do it. My parents have always kind of, they found they didn't have any kind of knowledge of disability. Like they had, my mum's a nurse, so she knew about it, but I don't have any other family members that have a physical disability. So they kind of had the idea very early on that I was going to live a life that was life of yes. There was nothing that they were going to stop me from doing. If I was a 3-year-old and I wanted to go in the McDonald's playground, they would have my uncle come with me and carry me up and down. Or if I wanted to backpack through Europe, they would bite their tongue and say, okay, how you want to do this? How are you going to do it? And then call me every hour to make sure I hadn't died yet. So I think the reason, it's really testament to my family and my siblings who, I mean, I said that my siblings, they're not theatre people.
Yep.
So if they came, and they're very critical. Like, you think I'm sassy, you haven't met my little sister, she's the worst. I said, if they said that I did good, then I know that I did good. And I think even them coming up and watching Tay Tay, they loved it. They said that the part where I was chasing Johnny, who played a school bully, around the stage, like, oh, that brought back childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And they just, yeah, they just really loved it because even siblings, it's not really discussed the impact that having a disabled sibling has on the family dynamic. And I think just seeing that was really, I mean, I thought it was quite nice for them to see that their experiences of being shuttled off to different relatives while I had surgery is not, it's not singular, it's universal.
Yeah, it affects
defending your disabled sibling, like, they've defended me sometimes, or they've had to answer silly questions like, oh, your sister dropped you off at school, how did she do that? So I think seeing like moments like that were in Tay Tay, was special.
Yeah, and that is exactly why we need the entire show to go around Australia.
I know, and you're internationally, Tay Tay, please. And I'm not ready to say goodbye to Tay Tay yet.
Yeah,
I think it's got more. Even the last show, I was like, I feel like I'm doing the very first one. I wasn't ready, but
yeah,
I mean, my body was ready, but
it just reiterates how like much it impacts not only the talent but the wider community as well. Like you obviously had an amazing experience there, and it wants to be continued, and it's, you know, you hold it close to your heart. But
and there's so many people that
have watched you, and it's impacted them as well. And
yeah, because Shake and Stir never made me feel like a other, never, not once in the whole, even now, the whole experience, I was just one of the cast.
That's it.
It was just,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, they definitely had to have lots of conversations with QPAC on how to make the theatre accessible for me. But I mean, that was never put on me. That was never discussed with me. It was never, that stress was never something that I had to carry the burden of. Yeah, they just made it seem like it wasn't a big deal, which is how it should be. Yeah. It's a big deal doing a inclusive show like Tay Tay.
Yeah.
But the fact that I was there and I was performing, you just shouldn't be a big deal. It should just be how it is.
Yeah, get to be another actor or actress. Vic, what from an international point of view, how do you find that Australia's faring compared to other countries? Because I know in certain industries and things I've spoken about, Australia is maybe a decade behind, but from the work that you do, from your point of view.
I reckon it's definitely catching up. I know from a Zebedee business point of view, we're the Australia side, I think, is accountable for about 15% of the business. So it's definitely, and that's like worldwide. I mean, we have talent throughout the whole UK, Europe, and then throughout like the whole of Northern America as well. So I think, we're definitely, doing really well over here at the moment. It's growing and we're seeing that change, and people are, reaching out to us directly. They want advice. They want to, be inclusive. Yeah, it's definitely coming,
coming up. That's excellent. It's about changing social attitudes, and that doesn't happen overnight. That's years and years of shifting the cultural dial.
Yeah. Seeing them out there, proud. It's the best part.
I'm so excited to see disabled talent. I know my husband and I'll be going through the shops and I'll stop and I go, look, because my eyesight's terrible.
I saw two Zebedee models in one day, Kyra and Rosie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And even just, I think, what I love about Zebedee talent is it's such a community. So, like, Melbourne Fashion Week, for example, I like to go because I'm just, like, to support all the other disabled models that are walking or rolling, depends what you want to say, in there. And I think, everyone's super supportive. I know for Tay Tay, a few of the models came and watched the show and they were really proud, which I think is, I mean, you don't see that in other agencies. You don't see people being genuinely happy for your success.
Yeah.
And I think with Zebedee Talent, all the talent is genuinely happy for everyone's success.
Absolutely. Literally everyone's cheering each other on. Everyone's so proud of each other. Resharing. Yeah.
Commenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all so excited to to see you up there and see what.
It's so rare. So I think when you do see someone killing it, it's amazing to see. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's cool. And I think the more brands and businesses who do cast inclusively, like, oh, that wasn't as hard as we thought it was.
That's
and it's
it.
Not nearly as complicated and May is awesome, so let's get it back for some
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Representation yeah. shouldn't just be something that happens around the Paralympics. I know
no. yeah.
statistically there's a spike in representation around the Paralympics and then everyone's like, oh, no, we won't worry about it now.
Yeah.
But I hope everybody is calling you and contacting Maya
yeah.
all year round because people with disabilities exist in the world all year round and need to be represented in the same kind of way.
Exactly right, yeah.
Question for you both, since the podcast is called That Was Unexpected, we'd like to ask our guests what about them or their circumstances with disability or without is unexpected about you? What would people not know from looking at your Instagram profile, for example?
Do you want to
get it? I can do. I suppose, yeah, something unexpected for me, I guess maybe from a work perspective and people knowing me from Zebedee and the talent and clients I work with is, yeah, that I have spent a lot of time travelling Australia. I moved here 14 years ago from the UK and, yeah, spent about 9 years of that working in aviation, flying in the skies and working with, yeah, a different variety of people. Yeah, I guess that's it for me. Mm. Something unexpected. Emergency procedures instructor as well, so running around with firefighting equipment, medical equipment on board an aeroplane and teaching that to, flight crew members, yeah, for a good period of time.
That's so
exciting.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Maya?
I thought something unexpected about me is I grew up in the country. So I live in the inner city suburbs of Melbourne, but I grew up in a small town called Kinglake, which is in the mountains of Melbourne. And I grew up riding quad bikes and going horse riding. And
sweet.
Yeah, so you probably wouldn't look at it from my Instagram because I like to go out a lot. But I mean, my parents now, they live on 9 acres, so you'd probably see me go there quite a bit and be there with my dogs. And they've got 4 chickens and I'm trying to convince them to get a horse, but I'm the only one in my family that likes horses, so I don't think I'm going to win.
Oh, cool. So if brands, businesses, individuals want to get in touch with you or Zebedee and make their content inclusive, which they all should, how can they do that?
Yeah, I recommend giving our website a visit initially, so www.zebedeetalent.com. You'll find our contact info there, but if you want to reach out to me directly, it's vic@zebedeetalent.com. But, yeah, check out our talent on our website, check out the work that we do and why we do it. Email us for some more information on how to make your campaigns accessible, and if you need advice, we've got some amazing consultants and creatives on the team as well. But yeah, reach out to us, ask for our packages, and we can take it from there. We'll support you throughout the whole process and guide you. So,
oh, that's brilliant. And Maya, how can people get in touch with you?
You can look me up on at Maya Dove. Or reach out to Zebedee Talent if you want to book me for anything further.
Sweet. I want to see your face everywhere.
Yes, I would
all
like
over
that
the
too.
Screens and billboards.
Yes, I would like to be in a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows and more theatre.
That's fantastic. Thank you both so
Thanks
much
for
being here
me.
And talking about one of my favourite topics, representation.
Yeah.
And for putting up with my extra nasally voice today because I've got a head cold. So thank you both very much.
Thanks
thank
so
you
much.
So much. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me and having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to That Was Unexpected. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, then hit subscribe wherever you get your fix. Have any questions or topics that you'd love for us to tackle? Great. Email podcast@youngcare.com.au. We can't wait to hear from you. Check out our show notes for transcripts, video recordings, and to find out more about our guests, plus the useful resources they share. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn at @youngcareoz. Let's not forget, an inclusive community is everyone's business. So let's keep working together to break down barriers and smash some stereotypes.